Welcome to the Halcyon House Washington page. Halcyon House, you're not changing your lifestyle, just your address. I'm Sally Hart, on the one to count on for today's news and local information, KCII. On today's program, I'm talking with Nurse Lynn Fisher with Washington County Public Health about vaccines.
August is National Immunization Awareness Month, right in time for back to school. And why do you think this observation is important?
Well, it's important because it gives us a chance every year to stop and highlight the importance of vaccines. And so it's held every August, as you mentioned, and it's perfect timing for the back to school shots. Possibly that's why it was even created. But also National Immunization Awareness Month focuses on vaccines for all the ages. For children to older adults.
What are some of those that kids need to have before they get back to school here in Iowa?
Right. Here in Iowa, as a kindergartner enters school, they're going to need to have the 5-DTaP vaccines, 4 doses of the polio vaccine, 3 doses of hepatitis B, and 2 doses of measles, mumps, rubella, and 2 shots of the chickenpox. So, and now we have new school requirements for the teenagers as well. So 7th graders need to have that tetanus booster shot, the Tdap, it's called. It's a tetanus vaccine that also has the whooping cough component in it.
Something we've seen in recent years.
Absolutely, right. And that's why several years ago when this became required, we saw that the middle school age students seemed to be the most vulnerable and were getting whooping cough. And so the Tdap vaccine, and also meningitis. So those are the two for the 7th graders, and then 12th graders have the meningitis booster shot. So now it's not just kindergarten anymore when shots are required.
And some colleges have certain requirements too.
That's true, and sometimes parents and college-bound students will stop by, and meningitis vaccine, even the meningitis B vaccine, which is not required for school. Some of the colleges are asking the students, if you are not going to receive that vaccine, we need to have you sign a waiver. So I have seen different college forms. And so, yes, it extends on into college life as well.
And it can be tough to keep track of all of these. If people have questions about their children's vaccine history, is there a good place to get that information?
Right. Well, they can certainly call their doctor's office, their provider, or us. Schools also keep records as the child advances through the years. So sometimes schools have been the go-to place for getting the immunization record because they will have the most current version going. And sometimes parents' baby books, they'll have some vaccines. But yeah, schools and certainly the doctor's office or the health department, because we are maintain the statewide immunization database, and most doctors' offices do too.
And with these vaccines, sometimes there's fear. What would you say to somebody who's concerned?
Right. Well, oftentimes we talk about what their concern is. We acknowledge that the person has concerns about the vaccines. And I try to ask the person, is it okay if I tell you what I've come to think and what I've come to learn about vaccines? Oftentimes it's the safety of the vaccine. And sometimes parents will then shift their thinking a little bit. They'll maybe accept 1 or 2 vaccines. Maybe they'll alternate from the schedule, but at least change their mind about accepting a vaccine. Most of the times the concern seems to be about the safety of the vaccine, not necessarily how effective it is. But most of the parents in our county do accept immunizations for their children. We have a very high immunization rate for the students in our county.
And vaccines don't only protect the person receiving them, but others in the classroom.
That's right.
Herd immunity.
Right. The more people that are immunized in the classroom then, because there might be a student who is undergoing a chemotherapy or has an immune disorder that they can't receive vaccines. So having all the other students immunized protects that student because all those other students will not get the disease. And so the student is sort of cocooned in protection. The disease is not going to get a foothold in that classroom because everyone's immunized. So it protects. That's what sort of herd immunity is used frequently. If you have a majority of your group immunized, they will protect because they won't get the disease. So that protects the person who can't be immunized.
And as a new mom, I heard about that quite a bit with an infant who was too young to receive many of the vaccines.
Right. Especially with the whooping cough. There was a big emphasis on that because usually infants get whooping cough from adults and they can't get those vaccines till they're 2 months old. So that's exactly right. There is a big push for that
And vaccine. I know it's August, so it seems early to talk about influenza, but when should people start thinking about flu vaccines?
The CDC says as soon as flu vaccine's available, we should start offering it. I expect that we will start receiving our shipments mid-September. That's pretty typical. Just about the middle of the month, the vaccine starts arriving. And then that would be the great time to start thinking about getting your flu shot. So September, once the vaccine arrives at your provider, go ahead and get the immunization.
And again, it's National Immunization Awareness Month.
Yes, right. People sometimes think that vaccine-preventable diseases have gone away. But as we know, with the measles outbreak that's going on, some of these diseases are still around. And so it's important to get that protection.
That's been today's Halcyon House Washington page with nurse Lynn Fisher from Washington County Public Health. Halcyon House, you're not changing your lifestyle, just your address. I'm Sally Hart with KCII News.